This is an interview with Mrs. Perks on the 3rd of October, 1966.
Before we get into 1940, let's deal, first of all, we may, with the... It's on now. With the period when he became district officer commanding of, I believe it was, MD-13 at Calgary.
Calgary, yes.
He was there when the war broke out.
38, he was there in the New Year, 38, we went back to Calgary from England. We were in England for the year, the whole year.
That's right. Yeah, now, where did you live there in Calgary?
We lived on Riverdale Avenue, near the Glen, near the Elbow River Bridge, just on the river, in Mrs. Russell's house.
Who was she?
Her daughter, I think now, she was a widow, and her daughter married the Tanner's son, Reg Tanner. She was a Russell, I think that's right. Yes.
Sort of a family friend?
Yes. Yes. They lived across the road, Harold Tanner with his mother.
And what about the distance you would be, or well, you would be from the office?
Oh, he walked to the office every day across the Elbow Bridge and along the river.
Along the river bank would he go?
So through the park, Elbow Park.
I see.
It was a very nice walk.
Mm-hmm. And this is one thing I must say, I don't think I asked him. What were the headquarters like at this time? Was it a permanent force brick building?
It was in an office building, and I really forget exactly where it was. It was right downtown.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
I see. Now, you had lived there before.
I was born near Calgary, but it was very nice to be stationed there. And he was stationed there after he went to Camberley, the staff college.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Calgary, and General Bell, Arthur Henry Bell, was the DOC. He was on his staff. And then from there, he went to Winnipeg.
That's it.
And that's
it.
When I met him,
mm-hmm.
when he was stationed in Winnipeg. He came to SAR-C, to the camp, and then he came out to see his mother and sister on a holiday.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, this was the first time, am I right on this, that you had been stationed there in Calgary?
Oh, yes.
Since you were married?
Oh, yes.
And coming as you did...
We were posted to Regina first when we were in England, and then in 10 days' time they changed it and said it would be Calgary, not Regina, yes. Yes.
I wonder why...
Well, there was just a short time, and then they told us, no, it wasn't Regina, it would be Calgary.
I see. Well, now, you would be, at this time, the wife of the highest-ranking military officer in the district.
He was DOC of the... Well, it was the whole province.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in Edmonton, Calgary, and Edmonton, and all over the province.
And I'm just wondering what difference this may have made to your life insofar as social activities and that sort of thing is concerned. Would you be expected to put on a certain number of social activities? Or
a certain number of teas, and dinners, and we entertained. I was very fortunate in having the little maid that I had had in Ottawa. We took her to England for that year, then she came back with us.
Oh, I see.
She stayed with us until he went overseas in 39, and then I decided that it wasn't... I didn't want to keep her.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't worthwhile then. We didn't have entertainment at wartime, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So she went home in 39.
Can you remember in those years just prior to the war, now mind you, it would be a comparatively short period, of any special functions or people you may have met whom were to play a fairly large part in your life later or in the general's life later, that sort of thing, or not?
During our stay in Calgary?
Mm-hmm. During the period from the time you went there until the war actually broke out?
Well, we met a lot of people. Of course, Calgary is on the way
mm-hmm.
to almost every point across Canada,
mm-hmm.
it seems
uh-huh.
to me. And we did a tremendous lot of traveling. And then, of course, King George came out in 39, Queen Elizabeth.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. George the Fifth,
mm-hmm.
George the Sixth, and Queen
mm-hmm.
Elizabeth, yes,
mm-hmm.
the Queen Mother now. And we were there during their visit.
Uh-huh.
which was very interesting, both in Calgary and up in Edmonton.
And you must have been pretty involved.
Mr. Eberhardt was the premier in those days.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And Colonel Bowen was the lieutenant governor in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, we led a very busy life.
Mm-hmm. Would this be the time, it seems to me, that he mentioned to me an incident, I think it was in preparation for the visit of their majesties.
Yes, yes. We went up to Edmonton to arrange the visit.
Mm-hmm.
And the wives, Mr. Eberhardt and all the wives in the provincial legislature,
mm-hmm.
were not quite sure about their curtsies and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you meant?
Yes.
So we sort of stood in and they did their curtsying. I showed them how.
Curtsy.
They weren't sure.
Uh-huh.
They were very nervous, naturally,
mm-hmm.
and it was necessary to do a little preparation, make it go as smoothly as possible.
Isn't this?
It was amusing, though.
It would be. Weren't you and General Perk sitting on the thrones, more or less, where the king and queen would sit, and he would come along, or they would come along?
Yes. And curtsy. Yes, that's right. Yes.
Lovely.
But they were very pleased to do it and know how, you know.
Oh,
it's awfully
yes.
hard for people in this country when they haven't had an opportunity of seeing things and
mm-hmm.
so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I was fortunate enough in 1937 to be presented in May 1937.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... I went on my own, and Mrs. Jack Patterson went on her own. We alphabetically joined up, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several people there that I knew. Mrs. Massey was my sponsor,
mm-hmm.
those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the Blois from Prince Edward Island were sitting almost next to us in the throne room.
Mm-hmm.
So it was rather interesting to be able to watch. We were under the musicians' gallery, under the clock, and the king and queen were at the other end of the room, and we had the most beautiful view of everything. And there's a passage you go through to the left and go the length of the room and come out just before the thrones there.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And they arranged your trains and your veil before you went through, and you curtsied and curtsied, and they were sitting just forward in their chairs and just bowing, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not too difficult, but it was rather a bit of an ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody in Calgary or Edmonton had had a chance to really see that ever.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a help, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. What was Eberhardt like, by the way? I've heard a great deal about him.
He was a big man, a religious man. He had these definite ideas about social credit. I think he was very popular.
Certainly he had the
votes. With certain people. Oh, yes. We saw him at a wedding. The Heeks, a daughter, was married, and he went to the wedding in Vancouver. Vernon Heeks was the the head of the Air Force in Vancouver.
Oh, I see.
When we were stationed there afterwards. Mm. And Mr. Eberhardt was there, I remember.
Oh, I see.
But he was a very big man, and he used to live at the McDonald Hotel, I think.
Mm.
He was there for breakfast always. It was quite something to see him eating eggs.
Is that right? Is that right?
Yes. But he was a very nice chap.
What about Mrs.? One rarely hears about her.
No. No, I don't really remember her very well.
This would be the main event, then, evidently, between...
I remember the dinner at the McDonald Hotel. The Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, spoke to Colonel Bowen, and Mr. Eberhardt was explaining social credit, and then she turned to Colonel Bowen and said he'd been explaining social credit, and she really didn't understand. And Colonel Bowen said, "I don't think anybody else does."
Is that right?
Yes. That was quite
lovely.
Funny.
Lovely.
Yes.
This would be, or would it be, the first time that you met their majesties?
Well, no. We had, as I say, been presented.
That would be the very new king then in 1937, would it?
Yes. Yes, coronation year.
Ah, I see. Yes, that's right.
And King Edward.
That's right. Yeah.
Left the throne before we went over to England. I think that would be about Christmas 36, was it? We went over on the boat. We were on board ship for Christmas both years, the 36 and 37. And
yes,
it seemed to me he abdicated at late in 36. And then King George the VI took much against his will, I think.
Now, during this period, during more especially 1938 and 1939, one had, and I can remember this quite well, coming over the radio, in the newsreels, in the papers, and everywhere else, this growing turmoil in Europe. The Hitler ranting and raving and Mussolini shouting, the invasion of Ethiopia, Spanish Civil War, and all that sort of thing.
We were in Calgary at that time.
I was just wondering to what extent you felt even then that war was coming.
I think we felt it all along.
We did?
Yes. At the lectures at the Staff College, at the Imperial Defence College, I should say, I mustn't get them confused. They had lectures from different members of the services, and the Navy people said that the Navy had been cut right down to the bone, and Horb Elisha had been cutting people right and left, you know, remember? And they were very worried about the position, and they saw how strong Germany was. They made a tour during their time there at the Defence College, and I know my husband was very worried about it. And then in Calgary, the Athenia was sunk. I remember that very clearly. And I remember very clearly when they mobilized that the men, they hadn't enough uniforms or anything. And
Before we get on to that, this is one thing you might remember, you might not. But do you remember the circumstances when word came to General Perk that there was to be a mobilization? In other words, the time that he heard, under what circumstances may he have received a telegram or a telephone call saying, this is it, mobilize. Do you remember that?
I don't very clearly. I do remember being told that the men hadn't really got adequate clothing, and the winter was coming along, you see, and they really didn't have anything worse. So we got busy, my neighbor opposite, and we organized knitting. So they had khaki sweaters and socks and those sort of things. They didn't have sufficient uniform and we were knitting like fury. Everybody from all parts of the province before the Red Cross were able to take over. We did it right away because we there was something that had to be done. But these men came in from all over and they didn't have anything that looked at all suitable.
Well, when, again, when war was declared, or even before war was declared, did you know that your husband would be picked as one of the brigade commanders?
No.
He didn't?
No.
Were you surprised when he was?
Not altogether, no. He had the 2nd Brigade. Yes.
Yeah. What steps did you take, shall we say, on the domestic front, once you knew that he was going to be a brigade commander and would, shall we say, be leaving within a matter of weeks or months? You mentioned, for example, that you had to leave the maid go in 1939.
Yes.
Did you continue to live in the house?
Oh, yes.
You lived in the same house?
Yes. And I was able to get a little help. And John had, as soon as my husband left in the spring, he had this scarlet fever. They weren't sure whether it was scarlet fever or scarlatina, so we were in quarantine. It was very awkward in the spring, in January, February. And we were in quarantine when I heard that he'd been taken ill with a cerebrospinal fever. But he went over, John Proctor and Fred Adams went, and then their wives decided that they'd go over too.
This would be
and
in...
That was in 39, early 40.
December 1939.
That's right, yes. And I preached against wives going over. Mm-hmm. But I was pouring at these farewell teas for them and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then, when he was taken ill, he cabled me to go over. And I found myself on the same boat with these wives.
Oh, boy.
Of course, mind you, they were friends of ours. Yeah. But their husbands were very worried that they were going over because they had no place for them to live.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a room in a pub, and there wasn't any place around where they were stationed there at the fleet. So they went to see my husband, who was in the hospital, and he arranged. The only thing you could do was to get a large house.
Mm-hmm.
So he arranged that we should rent a large house and all live in it.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's a smart idea.
It was a very smart idea, but it was not a practical idea. Theoretically, it was good. But the couples, you see, the two, four, they each had a batman, and they, the wives had no experience in housekeeping, practically. They went over, really, for a good time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the batman all passed the buck. They each thought the other should do a job, you see, in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we drew rations, you see, great hunks of beef and so forth, and it was up to me to do the cooking.
Oh.
Because nobody else, you see, it didn't work out. We could get a charwoman, but the charwoman got drunk at the drop of a hat. And it really was funny, but wartime, you see, we had no transportation. I got an old bicycle and went into Camberley. We were at Blackwater, and went into Camberley to do the shopping. But it was quite difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We were in a furnished, rented house, big house, very nice, but it was an awful job to run it in wartime. It really was.
Oh, bet you it would be.
Oh, yes. But that didn't last very long because I went down. When I arrived at Liverpool, the Hamilton Galtz had asked him to go and stay there when he was convalescing. He wired me to go. He'd be convalescing April and May and working again in June.
Yes,
and so the Hamilton Galtz had him to stay, and they asked me to go down with John and stay too, which we did. We were there for about 3 weeks with them. They were so kind.
Well, now,
and then we took this house when we went back, you see.
Well, I may be wrong here. When he was sent to the hospital with suspected spinal meningitis,
yes,
was that the time
He cabled me to go over.
When
he was getting better.
Not the doctor. Oh, when he was getting better.
Well, when he was getting better, he said he'd be convalescing in April and May.
Mm-hmm.
This was in March.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be working again in June.
Oh, I see.
Would I go over and take John?
I see. I was thinking in terms of he's extremely sick. He had a disease which was...
Well, he was treated right away with a sulfur drug.
Mm-hmm.
And he improved. He was taken out almost unconscious early in the morning with a terrible headache, this spinal thing. And they had to get him out through the window, I think, or something. But anyway, he went into this hospital and they had the drugs right there. And he reacted right away, responded.
Mm-hmm.
And General McNaughton sent me cables and Cahoon sent me cables about his condition.
Mm-hmm.
He's improved, and then he sent me.
Oh, I see.
They had to wear a white uniform when they went in, you know, and all.
Is that?
Oh, yes, to see him.
Is that?
Very highly infectious.
Yeah.
But anyway, he pulled through. His legs were like matchsticks. But he pulled through. I think he picked up the germ when he went to Sandhurst. He was lecturing on crawling on your stomach, you see, and showing them how to do it. Two of the cadets had it there. And I think he must have picked it up on that occasion, yes. But anyway, he responded to the drugs and came along beautifully. And we went down. It was the time of Narvik.
Mm-hmm.
We listened to the radio when we were there, staying with the Goths.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, what ship did you go over on?
That I really can't remember. I think it was one of the Duchesses.
Oh, I see. Be on a passenger.
Yes.
On the major one. You go over by a naval vessel or anything.
No, it was on one of the Duchesses, CPR.
Yeah. What did you do with the house, by the way,
in Calgary?
In Calgary.
We sublet it.
Oh, I see.
And the people, I stored the furniture and left it in about a week it was. Very quick. But John was better. They didn't think he had scarlet fever, scarlatina. We got a German girl for that month while I was, it was in February, January, February, soon after he left.
Mm-hmm.
Then Marcy lifted the quarantine and we were able to go.
Ah, good.
So that was very nice.
Incidentally, this is a bit of a tangent, but when you got the invitation to go down to the Hamilton Golfs, what happened to the other two in the large
house? Oh, they went down to their husbands. And they, I think they'd taken the house then. I'm not sure what they did in the meantime. But I think they were living in the house while we were at the Golfs, and we went and joined them. Yes.
Now this is the next point. After you leave the Hamilton Golfs,
yes,
you go back where?
We went to this place.
To the large
one? This big house, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Harthover House, near Minley Common. It was actually Blackwater.
And Blackwater was near
Camberley. Yes. And not far from Fleet. They were stationed there, you see.
Oh, I see.
It was at Fleet they were stationed, but it's all so close together there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see.
Mm-hmm. Sandhurst and Camberley are close, of course, and Blackwater.
Yeah. Now, you would, before we get you back into the house and all that sort of thing, was there anything that you remember during the time you were with the Hamilton Golfs of any interest that...
No, well, it was, when we were staying with them, it was all Narvik, and they were... Mm-hmm. And war work and ambulances, and
mm-hmm.
she was very much involved locally in all the
mm-hmm.
wartime activities.
What was their house
had,
like?
Oh, they had evacuees at their house from London.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yes, with parents, children, parents.
It must have been a large house then.
Oh, yes, huge house, Hatch Court, Hatch Beecham. It's outside Taunton.
Is it, was it an old house, or
yes.
was it a new one? Or
no, an old house, very big, with pillars in front. And it had a lovely, it was in the Illustrated London News, you know, these different
mm-hmm.
homes of England.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it has an orangery, it has three stories, and she's living there now.
Oh, is she?
Yes. It's a beautiful old home. Don't know, she had horses in those days, and she did a lot of riding.
Mm-hmm.
Taunton Vale, point to point. And
did General Perkins do some...
He wasn't well enough to ride.
He,
I think he did a little towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very weak. Oh, very weak.
I never realized that.
White as a sheet, yes. He was, oh, yes. Very thin. But he recuperated very quickly.
Yes.
He does.
Yeah.
And it has left no ill effect. It's a wonderful thing.
Right.
The sulfur drugs, they just discovered it
yeah.
then, you see.
Yeah.
And they happened to have a supply there.
Lucky.
Yes, wasn't it?
Lucky.
Very.
Yeah. Well, now, by the time you went back, this would be in the late spring or early summer of 1940, and this would be the time, of course, when the Germans pushed, they grabbed the Scandinavia, and then they pushed through Denmark.
Yes.
Belgium,
yes.
Holland,
yes.
into
and
France.
On June the 17th, we were going up to the cottage that I took at Pershaw. They were going over to France, you see, their husbands, the brigade.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all loaded on transports, and this was in June.
Mm-hmm.
And I took this cottage at Pershaw, and Mrs. Adams came with me, Mrs. Proctor. They were on the staff, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Proctor went to Torquay. She had friends there.
Mm-hmm.
And... then, when we were on the train, France fell, we heard. France had fallen the 17th of June.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, they didn't go over,
mm-hmm.
but I stayed up there, and Ruth shared the cottage with me,
mm-hmm.
and we did war work there, and they used to come and visit us. Dick Danby was his ADC.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, now, how far would you be at that time from 2nd Brigade headquarters?
Up in Pershaw?
Mm.
Oh, well, they were way down in... they went to Oxted, I think it was Oxted.
Yes, they were...
Caterham, Oxted,
yes, and
that
and Limpsfield.
Limpsfield, yes. And I was up in Pershaw. He'd come and see me perhaps at the weekend,
mm-hmm.
once or twice. And then I was able to borrow a car from my aunt,
mm-hmm.
and went down there.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, but I had to find a school for John when we were at Blackwater at this place,
mm-hmm.
and he went to St. Neots at Eversley.
St. Neots,
N-E-O-T-S, St. Neots. It's Eversley. That's where Charles Kingsley wrote The Water Babies.
Oh, yeah.
He was the curate there, I think.
Yeah.
But this school was very nice at St. Neith's. But then when I went up to Pershaw, I sent him and took him to Colwell, the prep school just the other side of the Malvern Hill.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was your reason for
moving him?
Partly for moving him, partly for you going up so far distance. I mean, rather than
Uncle lived in Pershaw, and he found the cottage for me.
See.
But it was just to be near a relation while they were overseas, mm-hmm. you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I did. I had this cottage, and then used to go and see him mm-hmm. occasionally. But John, I was near John, you see.
Mm-hmm.
The Singletons, he was the headmaster, Singleton. They're a great cricketing family.
Yes, I've heard that.
Yes, Singleton, yes. Colville is in the other side of Malvern Hill. In Hereford, it's the first stop on the railway through there.
Towards
Wales.
What was the reason for the changeover that was in the school?
For John?
For John.
Well, I didn't want to leave him down there so far away.
I see.
And I thought he'd be better up
mm-hmm.
at the other school.
I see. So I'm going to stop just for a moment, Mrs. Brooks, because this is just about coming to the end, and I'll flip it over.
Yes.
And we'll continue it on the other side.
Yes.
So this has only about 1 minute.
Well, they had the Harkinses. They would be someone whom you would...
Did you run into them?
No, we didn't know them then.
Oh, I see.
I don't think we did, no. Doug Harkness. We knew Art Smith. No, do. Art Smith, we knew quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died, and his wife Sarah is still living in Calgary, and his son ran. And he followed him in his father's footsteps.
Well, now we have you in England in June 1940. Now, this is also the period when there's a... this is the beginning of the invasion scare of England, which continues on for another 6 months, I would say.
The Battle of Britain?
The Battle of Britain. And I think we might just touch on half a dozen points here. Let's deal first of all with the Battle of Britain, which begins to warm up in August, September, October, and November. But that period.
Yes.
First of all, what do you remember of it?
Well, they were stationed then at Red Hill,
mm-hmm.
Nuffield Ridge,
mm-hmm.
in a place, the McAlpine Zone, Holmesdale.
Yes, the McAlpine.
Yes. Malcolm McAlpine was the son who married Diana. They're a big construction firm, McAlpine. And the daughter, the Askew's daughter, Mrs. Askew, was Arthur Rank's sister, and they had a place quite near, and Diana married Malcolm McAlpine. They live at Melton Mowbray, Leicestershire. They like hunting.
Oh, I see.
But I stayed with the Askews for several times, the Sydney Askews.
Mm-hmm.
The Dorothy, Mrs. Askew, was, as I say, Arthur Rank's sister,
mm-hmm.
and they had a lovely place there. I went to another spot before that, I think it was, stayed where Sir Arthur Somerville had lived, down a little lane where the Provost Corps was stationed.
Mm-hmm.
And we met the Provost Corps man the other day at the policeman's ball, you see.
Oh, well.
The Mounted Police Ball. It was rather interesting. I would go down there and be near them and then work in the canteen.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Dumphy was running a canteen there for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I helped Betty Rank, who was a niece, at the Air Force one, which was down below the ridge. Fighter planes.
Yes,
you know.
That's near Red Hill. Would be
below Red Hill.
Yep.
And the Canadians built a road there, a wonderful old road.
I remember reading in the War Diary a bit about this road building.
The road was built, yes.
Yeah.
So we worked in the canteen down there,
mm-hmm.
and...
this would be on one of your visits to the South.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But there was always war work to be done, all kinds of war work. I joined the WVS when we were at Storrington later on.
Mm-hmm.
What about the air raid itself?
You'd hear the alert. And then when I was at Pershore, they bombed Coventry. And, it was tremendous. You could hear the planes going over. So, roo, 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 way up. Searchlights couldn't reach them, really. And they dropped these bombs. They were 500-pound bombs. They weren't awfully big in those days. They weren't blockbusters at first. And they dropped a string of them quite near us. It went into the Avon. And they just made craters in the fields, practically. They didn't do much damage, but Coventry, of course, is different. They made an awful mess of Coventry. Heard the bombing and the red glow in the sky. It was quite terrifying.
How far would you be from Coventry?
Oh, I should think of... I really don't know offhand. We're near Birmingham, not far from Birmingham. Used to run a mobile canteen there to these different mobile searchlight places, you know.
Well, would you be in that too, in the mobile canteen?
Oh, yes.
We
kept busy, and there was a canteen in Pershore too. And of course there were three or four airports quite near, and they would come in. A lot of Canadian airmen were there. Rather nice to see Canada. They served bacon and eggs and all those sausages and those short orders and all kinds of sandwiches and so forth. But I remember we were so short of material to put in buns at Red Hill that we used to use mashed potato to spread in a bun and then put some sausage with it, you know. Isn't that extraordinary?
How did they taste?
Not bad at all. Yeah.
I remember some of those sausages that they gave out in the Nazi. We used to call those
Mystery sausage. But we certainly made things as nice as possible, but the materials were very scarce.
Yeah. What about Pershore itself? What was there?
Pershore is famous for its plums, the Vale of Evesham. It's very...
It's a small village, isn't it?
Yes, there's an old abbey there, which is rather interesting. But it's on the Avon, and there's an old grist mill there, and it's a charming old village.
Oh, lovely.
But my uncle was a doctor there, and of course he knew the country round about very well.
The town or village itself wasn't blitzed?
No. They jettisoned bombs, really, down just below. I was on Pensum Hill above it. And you go over the bridge and up the hill, you see. But they jettisoned these bombs just to get away and back to Germany quickly. They weren't aiming at anything.
Did you have any close calls yourself?
Oh, yes, I could hear them whistling down. It was very frightening.
You were that close at the time?
Yes. But there were no doodle bugs in those days. We came back to Canada before they started. They would have been very frightening.
I remember those quite well.
What
about when you were on the south coast? Did you get much of it there when you were, for example, near Red Hill, near the airport?
Well, we had alerts, you know. And they had shelters people used, but we didn't. We didn't bother. Of course, the blackout was a great thing.
Oh, heavens.
Really, really blacked out.
Ever lose your way, by the way?
Well, I once went to East Grinstead, and I think I had a hair appointment, and it got dark, and the car was going to come for me, but there were no lights. You couldn't, a little pinpoint on a flashlight or in the headlight, and I could see people smoking cigarettes on the streets, a glow of a cigarette and footsteps, but that's about all. It was very terrifying. But Bob Kellaway, who was killed in Sicily, was my husband's ADC at that time, and he found me there. East Grinstead is the place where they did all that skin grafting. Airmen who were so badly burnt. But blackouts are very frightening things.
I've stumbled around London and elsewhere. And I remember one time, actually.
But to be in a town that you don't know very well when it's dark, And then, of course, all the signposts and directions were removed. And you ask somebody the way, perhaps, and they say, I'm a parachutist myself.
I've not heard that one.
No, well, it was so. It was very terrifying if you didn't know where you were.
Yeah.
But then they were at Knepp Castle for a time, too. William Burroughs place. They lived in the lodge. We had dinner with them there. But the they were stationed at West Grinstead and Knepp Castle, I think. They were near each other. West Grinstead.
Yeah.
I had the headquarters there for a time, too. They moved about, you see.
Two things that come into my mind. One is not, again, directly relevant, but with the when you're with the mobile canteen at the Air Force, you'd be right, I suppose, at the cutting edge of the defense of Britain. I was wondering if there's any memories you have of that. Perhaps some of the people that you knew that you'd feed a bun to one day and he'd be gone that evening or something of that nature.
Oh, well, you never really, there were so many of them. But the mobile canteen was up in Worcestershire.
Mm-hmm.
And the other canteen was right on the Air Force Base.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yes, they came and they went, and sometimes they didn't come back.
Yeah.
But we didn't get to know any of them as well as that. Yeah. We were too busy.
Yeah. And during the period of August, September, at what I believe was almost the height, although it continued on, but this was almost the height of the invasion scare, did you or did General Perks have any plans for yourself had an invasion occurred?
No.
Well, what would you have done had an invasion occurred?
I don't really know. I think we would have put up the best defense we could, but what could you do? As Churchill said, use beer bottles if necessary.
There's no plans of shall we say, nipping up to collect John or going back further to the north to your uncle's place or anything of that nature?
No. No, John was when I went down to Storrington, John was still up at near Malvern.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there was talk of leaving England and looking after children, going back to Canada,
mm-hmm.
taking relations and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided not to go back to Canada. I decided to stay.
Why?
Well, John was at school, and he was in a good place, actually. And I like to be near my husband. There was no special reason. But a lot of my relations, a lot of friends wanted me to take their children out,
mm-hmm.
back to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But as a matter of fact, I was in touch with Jack Patterson, the CPR passenger agent in London, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he hadn't accommodation enough.
Mm-hmm. I see.
I couldn't have taken them all. So I decided not to go. And then I decided to leave in 1942. I was staying near Cross in Hand at the Heathfield, Cross in Hand. They were near there then, Sussex.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a PG with some people named Morris there.
Then. You were with you?
A paying guest.
Oh, I see.
And then he wouldn't let me pay anything, this
mm-hmm.
dear old chap, Mr. Morris. He was 100 years old when he died. But I stayed there. His daughter Barbara was very nice, very kind. They had a huge place.
Mm-hmm.
And they insisted that I stay there. And he met me on the stairs one day. He said, I don't want you to pay anything at all. And they were very kind. But I was waiting to get a passage then in 1942.
Oh, I see.
To come back here because my husband was coming back then in September 1942. Mm-hmm. You remember?
Yeah. Now, how long were you in Pershore?
Oh, I had that cottage and then I sublet it. I would go down to be near him at Oxted and different places
mm-hmm.
like that, and in Sussex.
Mm-hmm.
And I rented the cottage.
Well, when would that be?
Oh, that would be in 1941.
Oh, in 1941,
yes.
I see.
And 1942.
Would you sublet it just for a couple of weeks or a couple of months?
Air Force people came along, wanted a place. Oh, one Air Force wife came to the door and wanted to see if she could get a room, so I had her as well. She's from New Zealand.
Oh, I see.
Her husband was instructing at the airport. Mm-hmm. So then they were able to take over while I went away.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ruth went down to be with her husband at Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
And I would come and go.
I see. It was more or less them being
I went to
there.
Red Hill, Nutfield Ridge, you see, stayed with the Askews, that sort of thing.
I see. So your visits...
Yes. I came and went. John was at school, a boarder, you see, so I was free.
Mm. I see. Oh, that was a good arrangement.
It was very good, yeah.
What about the rationing, things of that nature?
Oh, my, yes, they were very strict. There was quite a problem. You had your ration cards, of course, and very little of anything.
Mm. There'd be clothing and food and shoes and...
Oh, yes.
Just about everything.
Yes.
Did you have any arrangements either with his relatives or with your relatives back in Canada where you could get...
Oh, my father sent parcels.
Uh-huh.
He did up parcels beautifully and sent them.
Uh-huh.
But it was a little bit of a problem. We were at Worth for a time. We had a cottage there.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't too satisfactory either. We were sharing it. And the batmen were a problem.
Again?
Again, yes. Oh, yes.
What was the problem this time?
Oh, well, he would iron things, put a blanket on a polished table and iron it. Well, naturally, the table looked as though it had grown a wool coat. That sort of thing, you know, maddening. Stupid.
Yeah.
But, we had a lot of funny incidents in that way. Bob Kellaway was with us at that time. And then a man named Carter was another batman there. We had one who was Polish at that time, and he married, and this girl he married, I think, got most of the contents of the parcels. They were very crooked. And I think he used to gamble, you know, quite a bit, and then my husband's shirts would diminish.
Yeah, he
you know, that happened, definitely. But,
they wondered he didn't kick them from here to land.
Yes, well, that happened. This woman put the pressure on that he must get all he could from us, I think, you know. And you couldn't quite tell what was happening, but I had a very good idea.
Yeah.
It was very difficult. This house we had, there were two workmen's cottages put together. And, the car, they, for instance, back it up so the exhaust would make a black mark on the wall or something.
Mm-hmm.
And... they sued us for damages, which were really as though we'd laid around with an axe, but we hadn't, you know. It was, I don't know.
And this was at a place called Worth?
Cross in Hand, near Worth.
Near?
On the way down to Crawley, in the southern part of England. I forget the name of the headquarters for the... the divisional headquarters were near there.
Now again, this may stretch your memory a bit. And again, I'm just groping here, but from your point of view, I would like to get some picture of your husband during this period. And of the difficulties he must have, and the strain he must have been under. And I just
yes.
What you might remember of this. The fear of invasion, the fact that...
Yes, it was.
So few troops,
mm-hmm.
and the danger.
Mm-hmm.
Did this show up in him at this time? And
No, I don't think so. He never spared himself. He'd go round the troops. He'd go and see them. He wouldn't just sit at the desk.
Mm-hmm.
He was right in there,
mm-hmm.
seeing that they were really in the pink of condition and that sort of thing. He didn't spare himself for a minute, or his staff. Bob Kellaway was sharing that house with us. He was in the AEC. We were all together, a little unit, you see, in that place. His batman's name was Carter. I remember he spattered the wall with ink for some reason or other, you know, those sort of things happen that you don't really care. But it was a question of, they came home to sleep, and Leonard Brockington came to see us when we were there, and we had dinner with the Astors at Hever Castle. Remember Hever?
Mm-hmm, I've heard of it.
The Astors, the newspaper man.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a moat around it and beautiful Italian gardens and so forth. But we went there very black at night, blackout, and it was very hard to find, but we found it.
Mm-hmm.
All those things were quite, you had no idea where you were going, you just went. We went to Arundel to a dance there, the Duke of Norfolk.
Yeah.
And we went in the pitch black, you see, tiny little bit of light, a maid light, and Annis was our driver, I think, and we found ourselves at the back door on the first foray with the garbage cans. But it's very difficult to know your way around. It's all walled in, you see, and driveways and so forth. Not unlike Royal Road, rather, that sort of style.
Oh, I see.
Yes. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And the Arun runs down below. They have peacocks there, I think, and it's beautiful. We stayed at Littlehampton for a time. We went to Petswood in 37, and then we went to Claygate that coronation year, and we stayed at Littlehampton in between getting the house at Claygate and leaving one at Petswood. But John was, we were there on John's birthday, April 14th. I remember going up the river to celebrate the occasion.
Lovely
part of England.
Yeah. What about the time when your husband was promoted from brigadier to divisional commander? Can you remember any celebrations at home or anything of that nature?
Well, I was...
That'd be 1940s.
Yes, I was up at Pershaw. I remember I was bicycling and my cousin came and met me and said, I hear that George has been promoted. But I hadn't heard it then.
Oh, I see.
I don't know how she had, perhaps in the newspaper or by radio.
Mm-hmm.
But she'd heard it anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, the worst of this period is, you know, that you were so close to him during these years that I suppose he wouldn't be writing, and there was no occasion for
him to
save his
letter. Exactly, yes.
Darn it.
No, I didn't. No, it was too bad. When we were engaged, he wrote every day. I had all his letters, but told me all the things he was doing, you see, in Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. And
so those letters are gone?
Oh, yes, I'm afraid so. You see, it takes a lot of room when you're moving about to keep them. And I kept them for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were married and went to Winnipeg, I destroyed them. It's a pity, isn't it?
It is.
But I really do save most things. I've got the all these things here. Yeah.
When you did hear from him directly, can you remember any celebration?
No.
Either the officer's mess or anything of the same?
No.
No time.
No. Oh, probably were, but I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We went once to Stratford, and Dick Dandy was with us. We went to see play there at the Stratford Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
It was very nice.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get to London? I imagine you would during this period.
Oh, yes.
1941.
Yes, quite often.
What was his major form of relaxation at this time? I know he wouldn't have much time.
But
to
he liked back. Riding. Where's Grinstead? He went out for the hunt a bit with Molly Gregson was the MFH.
Mm-hmm.
And he enjoyed riding. It was a good exercise for him.
It wouldn't be, I imagine, after a sickness, it wouldn't be the... Well, let's put it this way. That spinal meningitis must have had some sort of a physical effect on him.
Well, it left him weak for quite a long time, but... Mm-hmm. Bit.
He was.
At the end. Oh, yes. Yeah. Remarkably well. Yeah. A wonderful thing.
So now let's see. 41. I was just wondering if there's anything.
He was at Heathfield then in Sussex. He moved to.
This is the period too, and there's a considerable amount of maneuvers and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Can you remember before we take you back to Canada, can you remember any other events or incidents that might stand out at this time, either with
respect to him
or yourself? 41, 42.
42. No, I don't think so.